You know, Roland, I do not miss being single.
Whoa. Here's to that. Cheers, my friend.
Not that I didn't have fun in my day. They actually used to call me the closer.
Yeah. Well, that was probably because women used to close out their tab and go home when you came into the bar.
All right, speaking of closing out tabs, I think we should get out of here.
Which is what the women used to say to each other when they saw you walking through the door.
I'm not setting you up anymore, Roland.
Which is what your matchmaker said.
Greetings, it's the Duke here.
And I'm Lady J, and this is Up Schitt's Creek, the podcast.
Dedicated to all things Schitt's Creek.
How are you, the Duke?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. We are getting close to mid.
I was
going to
say, don't say the end.
No, I'm not going to do that to us. We're getting close to mid-season.
That's right.
And that makes me sad.
Yes.
But you know what doesn't make me sad is each and every single one of these episodes, because they're amazing so far.
They really are. As we've talked about before, the show is just bringing their A game, all of the little Easter eggs peppered into mm-hmm. every episode that are such like winks and nods to the fans. It's been really good so far.
They've been throwing things at us that we've been asking for.
Yes.
For 5 seasons.
Yes.
And here we are now.
Here we
getting
are.
Getting all of them.
That's right.
It's fun.
A little bit of Schitt's news.
Yes. Beep, 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 beep. Do you love when I do that?
I love it.
I don't know if it's right, but it's something.
It's great. Noah Reed.
Yes, he's
on officially
tour.
On tour. Oh my gosh.
How fun. I've been hearing amazing things about this.
Me too.
I'm really excited. A lot of people posting about it and talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that can only mean great things, right?
I know.
We all know he's talented.
Yeah.
He's got a voice.
I know.
And he's gorge, so.
Ugh.
Doesn't hurt.
I'm really excited to be
yes.
at the show. When this airs, it'll have already happened.
Right.
But we don't know what's in store for us just yet.
I'm excited. We're going this Saturday.
Yes.
In L.A.
Yes.
So we hope to have seen some of you guys there.
Yeah. Look out for us.
Yeah.
Let us know if you're there and we can try to, you know, meet up and say hi. But yeah, it'll be really fun to see him in concert and see him do his thing.
Yeah.
And
do we know if he does Simply the Best?
You know, I've been sort of afraid to ask for all the people that have seen the show already, like in Vancouver where it kicked off. I was hesitant to go on the Facebook page and see if anybody wanted to tell us like the set list, you know?
Right.
Because I kind of just sort of want to be surprised. I just want to be in the moment. I don't want to have any expectations other than just seeing him live.
Sure.
So, you know, I think there's a strong chance that he will. But if he doesn't, I won't blame him for it.
It's going to be great all the same.
That's right.
Woo!
We'll do like a debrief about it on our next episode.
Sure. Just for you guys.
Yeah. So with that, let's get into it.
Let's.
This is episode 606, titled The Wingman. And the pop synopsis is Alexis and Moira deal with the outcome of a viral video while Johnny helps Bob get back out in the dating world.
Okay. Again, these synopsis for, what is this, pop?
Yes. They're fine.
They're okay.
I think they try to keep them to like one or two sentences on purpose.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want like a paragraph of a synopsis.
Yeah.
You know? I do find it interesting how they pick and choose which storylines to include mm-hmm. in the synopsis, because
they always leave out one.
That's true. But this time they did nail the titular storyline. So I got to give them props for that. But they did leave out arguably the funnest story.
Yes.
For my money anyway. Like
the most interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
Of this episode, yes.
But with that, before we get into the episode, let's get into our segment.
Oh, word. Come on, baby, tell me what's the word. Yes, this is a segment where we give you our word for this episode. Woo-hoo. And as always, we encourage you to send us your words.
Why don't you start us off?
Okay, so very, very simple word. for this episode. Mine is dating. And I feel like we all know why mine is dating, because each storyline in this involved some point in that dating scene, you know, as a couple or even as a single person with Bob.
Right.
He's going out there with his pals and they're trying to set him up. With Alexis, I mean, her and Ted are still dating one another, and very special and important things are happening there. And with Patrick and David, they're dating because they are not married yet, but some interesting stuff happening there in their dating lives. So that's, I'm going to keep it real simple because it's fun and it's light. So my word is dating.
I went down a similar vein. My word is chemistry.
Oh, chemistry.
I like chemistry for this episode because I do think that there's a fair bit of chemistry at play here. Mm-hmm. There's obviously the chemistry between David and Patrick and Jake. That's sort of just glaring at me in the face, you know. You know, the chemistry between Ted and Alexis and the chemistry with Bob and the rest of Schitt's Creek, I guess.
I guess. Or Gwen. And or, like,
right. Exactly.
All of her male cousins, her new male cousins, I guess.
But also, interestingly, I think the chemistry between Moira and Alexis as well.
Ah, nice.
I think that that dynamic took a turn in this episode, you know, for the better. So there's a lot of like chemistry playing out in this episode that is like interesting to think about and look into, which hopefully we'll do in this next hour or so.
Yes.
But we did get a couple of word submissions prior to this recording.
Fun.
Yeah. Our friend, Yes Mish again, her word is evolution. She didn't really provide much beyond that, but I think we can understand that. I think there is evolution for not only the characters here, but for their relationships and where they're going from here. And then our other good friend, Frank.
What up, Frank?
What up? His word is adult.
Ah.
We have very grown-up issues being dealt with in a very mature way.
You know what? I like that.
Yeah.
I like that because it is true.
Yes, it is.
There was a lot of maturity in this episode.
All right, so with that, let's get into our titular storyline.
Ba, ba, ba.
My heart breaks into a million tiny pieces for this man.
Yeah.
I can't imagine being in his position. His entire world rug has been pulled out from under him.
Yes, but can I say something very selfishly also?
Of course.
I am... I find so much comedy and like giddiness in the fact that we're getting a lot of Gwen information here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that like finally it has come to a head where this is now like we're now seeing how this is impacting Bob and his life and like.
And the lives of those around him.
And how we were all like right.
Yeah.
Basically.
No, totally.
About Gwen.
Totally. It is a validation, and I think it's another example of the fan service we were talking about earlier. I think that the show did such a good job of planting those little breadcrumbs throughout the entire series, and you know, we've all been talking about it. We've all really wanted to know what's the deal with Gwen, and we're really getting into the meat and potatoes of it here.
The fact that they're giving Gwen and Bob their own storyline a lot with Gwen.
Yeah. And I will say, I do like the choice of not having this be Gwen's story.
Right.
Not only because we never really spent any time with her. Bob has always been the townie that we spend time with in that pairing. Mm-hmm. But also because I think it's a more interesting story. Like,
of course.
I think it's enough for us to know that Gwen has left him, has taken the house, has shacked up with the pastor and I guess a whole host of her male cousins or whatever they really are, right? And now I think us focusing on the aftermath of all that for Bob and seeing, you know, him just trying to get a footing on life with, you know, post-Gwen.
Yeah, it's, you're right. My heart is in pieces for this
It's awful.
What is happening? But also, I love the fact that he's shacking up with Ronnie right now. Like, they're roomies, right? Amazing. Could you imagine that?
No.
The fact that they chose her to have him be roomies with.
I'm telling you, the show has really figured out how to use Ronnie here.
Yeah.
I could just see Bob showing up at Gwen's door. I mean, at Ronnie's door with, like, a packed bag and, like...
Crying.
Crying. In his Bob way.
It's the worst cry ever.
It's truly bad.
Like, I want to cry when I hear him cry.
Yeah.
Because it's such Disney cartoonish cry.
Yes.
When you hear him.
It really is. You've nailed
it. It's like a hoo.
Yeah.
Are you okay, Bob?
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like when the dwarves are all crying over Snow White's, you know, presumably dead body. That's what it feels like. Yeah. Like wringing their hats of their tears. Yes. And just like,
I expect to see the tears just like bouncing off of his face, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, here we are in the hotel.
Yes. Ronnie has brought Bob. And trying to see if he can stay at the motel for, like, a week just to give her some space and him some space. And Johnny, understandably, is not going to do this. Like, I get it. We saw what happened when Roland stayed at the motel for, like, two nights when Jocelyn kicked him out. So, and they're also, like, a more thriving business now than they were at the time, too. So, like, I could see how he doesn't want to give up a room to Bob and his sad sackiness.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that in Johnny's mind, he would much more rather have him go stay at, like, Roland's house for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Except that they have the baby and, you know, all that stuff. At least Ronnie is, like, you know, single, like, lives alone. So, like... It's not, like, as much of a burden as it would be in Roland's house, I can imagine. But, yeah, so Johnny's great idea is to have them take Bob out, serve as his wingmen, and, you know, try to basically get him laid. Like, let's face it. Like,
yeah, they're trying to have Bob have a happy time.
Right. Get his mind off of his trials and tribulations with Gwen. Sure.
But I love that they have him try on Johnny's suit.
Oh, man.
What? Why?
It's so good.
Bob is a very tall person.
Yeah.
What in the world made Johnny think that he would ever fit in his suit?
I don't know.
This poor schmuck is like walking out.
his sleeves are like past his wrists. And, yeah. It's not great.
No, it's not great.
Bob, you look like $1 million.
Well, actually, Bob, in Johnny's suit there, you look like a guy who had $1 million, but then lost it.
It's very funny, Roland. Now, the suit works, Bob. I don't know if I can speak on behalf of women here.
You can't.
Moira used to say when she was single, she would always be attracted to men who could make her laugh.
How'd she end up with you?
All right.
Okay. We need to talk about Roland here
for a second.
Because damn it if I don't think every time he laughs or coughs or something, he's going to have a heart attack.
True.
Am I the only one? You see this, right?
The laughing from both Roland and Ronnie in this episode was, like, troubling.
Very. But that's always the norm when you get Roland and Ronnie together.
That's true.
They do, like, this...
It's guttural. It like comes it's from like a, deep it's, within.
But it's also like a bro down when they're with one another. You know what I mean? Like,
Oh my god. It's true. I do love all of the ribbing that goes on between Roland, Ronnie, and Johnny in this episode. Like, I almost wanted to do a super cut of all of it, but it would have been too cumbersome to do. But, like, yeah, there's so much ribbing in this episode, and it's all at Johnny's expense, and it's very good.
And I don't know why it took me this long to realize this, but when I was watching it for one of the millionth times, I realized Roland is always eating.
That's true.
He's always
snacking
on something or eating like a full meal. And it's always like unhealthy things.
Of course.
But he's always shoving something into his mouth while these moments are happening. And that's why we get like the coughs or the laugh coughs and all that stuff.
Or the laughing that sounds like you've got something in your mouth.
Right. And he's always talking or with his mouth full of food.
Yeah. Or clearing his throat from all the food he's eaten.
And he's not like a quiet eater. Mm-mm. He talks with his mouth or he chews with his mouth open.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
But can I just call out the fact that like 4 seasons ago, I would have been vomiting from that.
I remember.
And I just find it so funny now. Like, I have come so full circle on Roland.
And me with Bob.
Yeah.
Because Bob was my major issue when we first started.
Yeah.
And now I just like, I just want to hug him and love him. And, like, I want the best for him.
He is like, he's like my grandpa. Like, I just like, you know, like he's frail and like I worry about him, but like I just want the best for him, you know?
Yeah. He's very sad sacky.
So, you know, he's in the suit. Johnny's just trying to like get this wingman thing off the ground. So he's like, okay, why don't we role play this out?
Why don't we try a little test run here? Let's imagine we're in a bar. Ronnie, do you want to be the woman in this little scenario?
Not a chance.
Okay. I would be the woman.
Okay, so we're in a bar and you see this very intriguing looking gentleman.
Hello. I'm Gwen.
Oh.
You had to pick Gwen.
I'm sorry, I saw Bob standing there, and that was the first name I thought of. They're always together.
Pick another name.
Okay, all right. Hi, I'm Ronnie. That's my friend Gwen.
Oh, thank you. Okay, this is a disaster.
Thank you, Roland. I'll take over from here. Bob, honestly, you know, just a few more runs, and you're going to be drowning in phone numbers.
No.
I can't breathe.
I literally thought he was going to have a heart attack.
Me too.
I thought, Bob's going down.
One of them's going to have a heart attack in this scene.
I was like, oh, this scene is taking a turn for the worst. He's going down. This is going to end up with him in the hospital.
Well, he does this wave like, no, I can't breathe.
Oh, my gosh. It's crazy. And Johnny's reaction is so small. It's just like, oh. Okay.
Oh, there's so many unhealthy things happening in this goodness. Scene.
I will say there was a moment of disgust with Roland where he like gets up from his, you know, chair to like do this role play, and there's like a spot on his shirt from
there's
like
also food.
Yeah, it was all just a little bit too much, but like I just had to like ignore it. And then they did a good job too of like framing the shot after that. Like it wasn't a wide shot; it was just like it was like a more close up. So I was like, okay, I have to see the spot on his shirt. Yeah.
Imagine being Roland. Let's just try being Roland for 2 seconds, okay?
I really can't.
After every single sentence, you throw in a... Lady Cherry... What's the synopsis? Do you know what I mean?
I know.
Like, this is Roland.
Yeah, it's true.
It is so much.
Man.
Imagine having a conversation where I'm Roland and you're Bob and you can't breathe. What?
How do they have conversations, those two?
We wouldn't get any words out.
It's true.
That's all we would do.
It's true.
Cough, cry. That's all. That's it. That's all that would happen.
Yeah.
But gosh darn it, if we don't love them.
So they go to the Wobbly Elm, mm-hmm. which is, I guess, the local bar now. We've been there so many times
already.
We need
a bar like that.
We really do. Mm-hmm. We should make one. We should have a pop-up Wobbly Elm. Okay, if anybody listening knows how to do a pop-up, let us know.
Let us know, please.
Write to us at upschitzcreekpod@gmail.com.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Ooh, yeah.
Everybody needs to show up in a leather jacket.
Yes.
That's the deal.
And we need pool tables.
Absolutely.
And yeah.
And we need and champagne under the pool table.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That'd be love great. So they go to the Wobbly Elm, mm-hmm. and they're all sort of, well, the three of them, Johnny, Ronnie, and Roland are like sitting at the bar, and they're watching Bob talk up this woman, and they're like laughing, they seem to have a good rapport, and it's like, oh my god, this is working, like, good for Bob. And then Bob does his Bob jog back, and turns out that woman is his and Gwen's marriage counselor,
yeah,
who has just informed Bob that she has to drop him as a client because it's a conflict of interest and she's chosen Gwen's side.
Oh, can kick a man while he's down. Right?
But he's so, like, jolly about it.
I know, like, it's okay.
He's like, I can't blame her. Why? Because Gwen has money and you don't? Like, is that what it is? Like, I don't know.
He's giving Gwen way too much credit here.
Way too much credit. It is sad. No, it's not sad. It's just, it's accurate. You know, this is a man who has spent his entire life with this woman and he's happy. Like, he's been happy, you know? He's sort of been blissfully, like,
right,
exactly, you know, ignorant to what's been going on under his nose, but he's been happy. And all of a sudden, like, it's all just turned upside down. But those feelings and that love that he has for Gwen doesn't just go away immediately, you know?
Yeah.
So he's just sort of, like, down in the dumps and just like, this isn't a good idea. Like, what are we doing? You know, whatever. And Johnny has one last gambit he wants to try. The old, you said something funny, let's all laugh thing.
Which, listen, we've all tried that.
I've never.
No.
I've only ever seen that in TV and movies.
Really?
Yeah. I've never done that.
I have.
Have you?
Yes.
Does it work?
Not by myself.
Well, obviously.
Insane.
You're just laughing and then someone comes up and you're like, oh, I just said something.
They don't
really
come
funny.
Up to me because they're interested. They come up to me to see if I'm okay.
Right.
Yeah. No, but I've done it with a group of friends.
Okay.
Where, like, we try to play each other up.
Mm-hmm.
Or one another up.
And then it works? People come up?
I mean, no. I didn't say it worked. I just said I've done it. Because then at that point, people just think we're, like, drunk or,
yeah,
you know,
right,
crazy or...
Or both.
Yeah. Drunk and crazy. But no, I've attempted it. And then, yeah, it's... I don't know. It's pretty ridiculous.
I think there's a fine line. If you're going to try this, you can't be in a big group. Because then people are just going to think, like, well, that's a group. They're having a good time. Like, it's not going to intrigue me to go over there and be like, what's funny, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But maybe if it's just, like, one-on-one, you know, like, you're at the bar with a friend and you just want to, like, and I think it really only works at the bar. Like, yeah. I don't think you could be, like, sitting at a table and pull this move. Because
the dinner is so bad. Yeah. And you're just like, cackling. But also, I think, like, it can also work against you if,
well,
you're not careful.
As it does in this scene.
Sure. But in a way that if, let's say it does pique someone's interest, right? And they find the nerve or whatever to come up to you and they're like, hey, so what's up?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you get to know them and then you're not funny.
Right.
And then they find that out.
You're a dud, yeah.
Like, womp womp.
Right.
Yeah. So it can also work against you.
Well, which is what Bob's fear is here, because he's like, okay, what if they ask me what I said? And then I don't know because I'm not funny. And Johnny, which makes sense, like, from Johnny's perspective, they're not going to ask, man. This will just pique their interest and then they'll come over and it'll be fine. So, so, you know, he goes for it and everybody goes along with it. And then this woman comes up, which, okay, in her defense, as they're cackling, they turn and look at her.
Yes.
I can understand the impulse of, like, are they laughing at me?
I would feel very insecure and very much like, the fuck are they laughing at?
Yeah. And props to her for going up and confronting that situation.
I'm surprised she didn't take that pool stick with her when she approached them.
Right. And so, like, that also failed, Johnny's gambit. And finally, after, you know, several hours, I guess, at this bar, unsuccessfully trying to set Bob up, Ronnie fucking handles this shit.
Fuck yeah, she does.
Like a sniper, in, out, handled, done. Here's the number.
Yes.
Go for it. Take a breath mint, take two, and get out there, my
she
man.
She gives a whole container of breath mints. Like, get out of here.
One foot on the ground, one foot on the pedals, and hit the ground.
Exactly what I was thinking. But yeah, I mean, and then all while that's happening, Ronnie hooks herself up.
Oh, yeah, man.
Hello.
Are you doubting
with
Ronnie?
What was her name? Vanessa?
No. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Vanessa.
Her girl's Vanessa, and then Vanessa has a friend. That's right. Who's very attractive and has problems with her car. And Bob's thing is like, I was hoping not to talk shop tonight.
Bob, at this point, this is all you got going for you. So get
everything
in there.
Else hasn't worked. You have an in. Just go for it.
Use what you got.
That's right.
I mean, don't we? That's something we all do. You got to use what you got.
Absolutely. I will always look for opportunities to talk about my podcast to make myself seem cooler. Like, duh.
I love it because I know when you have gone on dates, that's one of the first things I ask you. Did you tell them about our podcast?
Okay. Well, in all fairness to me, like, it's kind of the only thing I've got going on in my life.
Oh, stop
besides
it.
All the TV I watch. So
not true.
I mean, it's kind of true.
Not true.
I'm not a hiker. I'm not a great thinker.
That's fucking bullshit.
I'm not in school, like, so I do podcasts.
You're sexy as shit.
Yeah, but they already know that. They're sitting across from me, so.
Duh. Oh, so yeah, did you watch?
Yes, the after show thing?
Yeah. You watched it?
Uh-huh.
Where Ronnie, Karen.
Right.
Is like, everybody wants to know if Ronnie is gay.
Right.
What do you think? She's like, come on, at this point.
I love that she, like, as the actress, like, owns that. She's like, right. There was never a doubt in my mind, but fine, here, have a storyline to prove it to you all.
Come on.
Yeah. And I, to be honest, I thought that she was with somebody. I thought that she did have a partner. The woman who stays behind after Moira gives her speech when she's running for council, I just assumed because she stayed behind that those two were together and that they lived together.
So did I.
So it was, I was like, oh, I guess Ronnie's single too. Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. Like, it was just never a thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
It just never needed to be a thing.
It didn't. Which is, and it's not a thing here either.
No.
They treat her sexuality as they do everyone's sexuality on the show, which is a non-conversation. It's just a fact. Who cares?
Yeah. But I love it that, like I said, while they're there for Bob, she gets in on the action too.
Hell yeah, man.
Dude.
I love it. I love that she is just so, like, comfortable with herself and in herself, you know? Like, she knows what she brings to the table. She knows who she is. She has absolutely no qualms, like, going up to a hot girl and being like, you, me, let's do this thing. Like, I love that about her. That's a quality that, like, I wish I could embody without any of the, like, negative, you know, consequences that could come with that. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, the world we live in is not Schitt's Creek.
No, it is not. It is very different.
That's right.
So,
but yeah. So
Bob's gonna go talk shop.
I kind of low key hope we get more of this. Like, I kind of want to see what happens after this with him.
What if he's gonna bring a date to the wedding?
Ooh, and like shove it in Gwen's face.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But Gwen, this is my new friend. I hope so. I hope do that too. Happens for Bob.
I want only the happiness in the world, all of the happiness in the world for Bob. He deserves it.
Yeah.
He's certainly been through so much bullshit with Gwen.
No more Disney tears for Bob. That's what I want for the rest of this season. No more Disney tears. Mm-hmm. Here's looking at you, Bob.
Aww. Okay, we got to talk about David and Patrick. And Jake from State Farm, as
Jake
you
from
love to call
State
him.
State Farm is back.
Did you see there was a commercial? Oh, no. It aired right before. So because I put the channel on before the show started and it was Wedding Planner. And there was a State Farm commercial. One of the commercials had like a State Farm worker, like his mug said Jake. And then he picks it up and drinks from it. And on the bottom it says from State Farm or whatever.
Oh,
and I was like,
God.
Oh, my God, it's Jake from State Farm.
Someone needs to get me that mug, dude. I need to own a Jake.
Okay, well, way to spoil the surprise.
Thanks. No, but look it. Am I happy that Jake's back?
I think, okay, I will say this. It's an interesting choice of all the fan servicey, like, remember this guy's that could have come up. It's interesting that it's Jake.
I know.
But it does fit the narrative of the season with David and Patrick. Because, and this is something that Frank has written to us about, which is where I got the idea. It does seem like at least the past few episodes with David and Patrick, here's a hurdle for a marriage.
Yeah.
Overcome this. Here's another hurdle. Overcome this. And so it does make sense that Jake would be the one to come back to serve as another hurdle for these two to, you know, get through on their way to marriage.
And it's funny because of the way that David explains things to Patrick when they're sitting down in the apartment, when they're trying to decide whether or not they want to go for that whiskey. Mm-hmm. David says, if we were going to go get drink some whiskey with somebody, Jake would be the one to do it with because he literally doesn't care about anything.
Right.
That's true.
Absolutely.
I mean, there would be no strings attached in that.
No.
No emotions. Mm-mm. No nothing. So, yeah, he's right.
It does seem to me, though, that Patrick is way more on board for this idea than David is.
Yes. I literally put in my notes. I'm very confused by Patrick's reaction to Jake.
Right?
I'm but okay. Yes, I think all that and sure, but like I don't know how to feel about it.
I know.
I have issues with it. And not like issues like, oh, that's not cool. Like, oh my God, why would he want that? I think I genuinely have issues because I don't know how it makes me feel. I don't know if I'm happy that, like, David is willing to give that to him if he so chooses.
Mm-hmm. But see, that's the thing is I don't even think of it as David giving anything to Patrick because he would very much be a part of it.
Yeah.
And in fact, when they're in the hallway about to knock on the door, when he's like, okay, if one of us isn't into it, it does seem like he's about to say, I'll stay and you can go.
Yes.
And then until Patrick cuts him off and is like, we'll both leave. That's right,
right.
We'll both leave. But like, I think my headspace or whatever with the storyline is just, it's weird to me that Patrick is so flattered by Jake and his whole, you know, deal when Patrick was so not about Jake when he first met him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, and I can also understand it's a completely different dynamic shift because when they first met, their relationship was so new. And I can understand Patrick's like insecurities about, you know, one of David's exes and, you know, all that. And look how far they've come and their relationship is so strong. And, you know, he knows where his bread is buttered and he's not really going to like
yes.
step out on sure. David ever. But I don't know. It's just, it's an interesting, you know, 180 kind of like.
It is. And also the reason I feel like Patrick is having such a good time with this and is so like red in the face,
yeah.
like David says, is because Jake's not subtle.
True.
He comes on very strong. Very strong. I mean, hello, he tells you that your sweater
really brings out your
accents
lips.
Your lips. Like, come on.
Right.
You know, he plants one on David's mouth.
Jesus.
I mean, there's no flirting because he's just all in it. Like,
true.
That's all that
true.
It is.
All the winking and the whatevering.
Yeah, Jake is sex on a stick. Like, that is what Jake is.
That's true. And I think you're right, because I think what Patrick is picking up on is that it, like, it's just nice to
right.
feel sexy and wanted and, like, you know,
but it's also very hard not to with Jake.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? It'd be a lot different if somebody else came in and it was like, oh, hey, and just kind of like the flirty smile and like, well, you don't really know where this is going,
true.
But you think they're into you. No, there's no question about this.
True.
And that's why I think Patrick's like, whoa.
But although, so do you not buy it then when David is telling him? David's trying to tell Patrick, oh, so you just want to go have a whiskey or whatever? Like, you don't know what whatever means?
Yeah.
And then Patrick's like, oh, wait, is that what he meant? So you're saying you don't buy it. Like, he always knew what he meant.
Yeah, I think he always knew.
Okay.
I mean, come on.
I mean, I don't know, but it's Patrick, though.
No, he knew what he meant.
Okay.
You're not going to be with your significant other in a room and then somebody comes in and, like, plants one on them.
And then is like, come by for whiskey or whatever.
Wink. Yeah. Like, oh, he's a lucky guy. You're a lucky guy. And look at you. And yeah, no, that's.
Yeah.
All things. Everything that comes out of Jake's mouth in that
true.
Scene is like.
And even Patrick saying, like, we should really respond to him about his offer. Like, that's Patrick, like, saying to David, are we
going
to talk
this.
About this? Because are we going to do it or not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that we had some messages from some of the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
That said that they really appreciated this storyline
mm-hmm.
because it left room for a lot of conversation,
right?
You know, as far as being in a relationship, that conversation that you would have with your significant other and how it, I guess some people even took it a step further and they're like, they appreciated how it was normalizing these types of situations.
Sure.
Which I completely understand that and I respect that. But for me, it made me very aware of like my insecurities, mm-hmm. this storyline, very aware. And so while it was like appreciated by other people, and I appreciated it too, and it helped them, you know, ooh, that's interesting. And oh, yeah. And let's talk about this and that. For me, I'm like, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to go to my significant other right now and talk about that because I'm afraid of what they would say. Mm. And that's me.
Yeah.
And so it was, I don't know. I took a different approach with this storyline. And I've never been more aware of my insecurities.
I don't mean to be laughing at you. That was awful.
Well, you did.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at what you're talking about.
But like I put myself, you know, in either one of their shoes. Mm-hmm. And what would I do? And I don't know that I would take it that well. That's me. Strictly me.
If we ever did decide to have a whiskey with someone, Jake would be the person to do that with because he literally doesn't care about anything. So just, I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, we always have the option of going and just having a whiskey.
Okay. And I always have the option of online shopping and just putting things in the cart. That's not going
to
happen.
That moment to me mm-hmm. feels like, well, first of all, that's as deep as that conversation is going to go between the two of them.
Right.
Like Patrick has already come to the table and said, like, I want to go get a whiskey with him. David has already come to the table and said, you know, whiskey means a threesome. And if we did, yes to Jake. So I feel like that's the extent of this conversation. Like it's never really going to be like more like specific than that. Like the, sure. You know, they might in a completely separate instance get down to the brass tacks of like, okay, what's allowed, what's not allowed, whatever.
Right.
But I think that the fact that they're both coming to that table in this moment and like, you know, Patrick has already made his intentions clear and David's like, well, okay, you know, if we do go, then it's happening and whatever. It makes me think that they're both secure enough in their relationship, that they trust each other enough, that they understand the parameters of this to be like strictly the act. Like,
yeah.
You know, no chance of feelings. Like, this is not us having an open relationship. This is just doing this thing with this guy one time or however many times. But, like, this is the situation that we're in, you know? And I think in that way, I can get on board with it. Because it makes me still feel good about the trust and security and love between David and Patrick.
Sure.
Like, I'm glad that it is a conversation. And I'm glad that it's not just one party pushing for it. While the other is like strictly on, like strongly on the other side where it's like a debate, you know what I mean? It's more just like a discussion. Like we're coming to the table and this is what's on the table and we could not, we don't have to, but if we did, it'd be okay. And yes, and why not? And all these things. And like,
I'm glad that you mentioned that because while I said that I've never been more aware of my insecurities with this, I appreciated in the storyline how they represented both the yes and the no of this. And they made them both okay. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just like, well, you're a prude if you don't think this is right. And, you know, gosh, how dare you not think this is okay? Or how dare you not be open-minded about this? But also like, oh my God, why would you ever want to do something like this? Like they showed both sides of this. And they showed about, two people really talking about, why shouldn't we? Why should we?
Right.
What's the deal here?
Right.
And it was never like a definitive answer. It was never like a for sure thing.
Well, they went.
They went.
They went. But and Patrick put on his sexiest shirt of life.
But even up until the point where they knocked on the door, they were still the back and forth of it.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's when I was like, okay, so this conversation is a conversation that you would have.
And it's an ongoing conversation.
Right.
You know, it's not just, well, if we do this now, then this is the kind of relationship we have.
Yeah.
You know, it's let's open the door for Jake today.
Yeah.
And if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If it doesn't, it doesn't. We can always leave. And then, you know, down the line, like, there's no one is saying no and no one is saying 100% yes either. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
It's just now a facet to their relationship.
Yeah. And I can appreciate that.
Yeah. It certainly makes it very interesting when they do show up at the party.
Oh, wow. A lot of people here for drinks, David.
We've had a few more on their way. Make yourselves at home, boys. Great shirt, by the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, thanks. We left our wine in the car.
Oh.
So we should go get that.
Oh. Don't worry about it. Plenty of vino here.
Yeah, it's just that ours is, kosher.
Mm. Well, hurry back. We're going to start the massage circle soon.
Oh.
Don't want to miss it.
You have your coat. We should go. And Stevie. Oh. My God. What are you doing here?
What are you two doing here?
We were just...
Invited for drinks?
I don't know what you're talking about. We came here to say hi, and now we're leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Can I not have one thing for myself?
No. Anyway, we're gonna go. You gonna come with?
I still have, like, half a drink left, so I think I'm gonna finish it here and then meet you guys later.
No, you won't.
No, I won't.
Stevie says, can I one thing for myself? This isn't for you. Like, this is for everybody.
Well, yeah. It does make me question why Stevie thinks she's there. Like, does she think that everyone's going to leave and then she'll stay?
No. It doesn't take a genius to figure out what's happening here.
And I think that becomes very obvious to her when she sees David and Patrick there. Because it's like, oh, wait, if they're here, then what am I doing here, you know? But she does double down, and she's like, I'm going to stay. Which, you know what? Good for her.
Whatever, yeah.
Good for
her. Have a good time.
She knows how to be pony, you know what I mean? Like,
I think everybody in that room does.
That is a very good point. Very well said.
So I hope everybody's just being careful. Oh, that's
boy.
All I hope.
Eesh.
Please just be careful.
Eesh. I love that the minute they walk in and see more than just Jake there, it's like, we should go.
Nope. Like, that's the hard
minute,
no for them.
The minute. Like, it didn't even take 2 seconds. There's a lot of people here. Grab your coat. We're going.
Look, yeah. If nothing else, this was a fun storyline.
It was.
It really was.
It was just cute and funny and intriguing and
yeah.
interesting and very sexy. Like,
well, very sexy. It brought out the sexy in everybody.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
why, like I said, Jake came hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pun intended. You know, like he did. And everybody just kind of followed in suit with that.
That's
and
right.
was like, what up?
You know what it is? Do you remember the episode of Buffy? I don't know if you watched Buffy.
I didn't.
So there's an episode of Buffy. It's the silent episode. So the entire episode, there's no dialogue. It's like scored throughout, but like no one can talk. And it's one of those things where like they wake up and realize that they can't talk. And so like they're trying to figure out like why they can't talk. And it's because these like demons have come and like stolen all their voices for whatever reason that I can't remember now. And I feel like Jake's presence in the town, like Jake just wafts through the town.
So Jake's
sewing.
Jake's a demon?
No.
I'll allow it.
No. Well, maybe a sex demon, but like, you get what I'm, like Jake just like wafts through town, sowing seeds of sexual lust and desire
yeah.
amongst anybody he encounters. And then it culminates in a massage circle at his apartment, you know, like,
look, I may not like Jake from State Farm. I really may not like him, okay? But the one thing I can give him is that he knows what he wants.
Mm.
And he's not shy about it at all.
As David says, he is nobody's ex and everybody's ex.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Everybody in that room
mm-hmm.
has had a piece of Jake.
Yeah, for sure.
And they like it because they're all there.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true.
Jake stays winning. That's all I know.
To each their own.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This, look, regardless of what Patrick and David would have chosen,
mm-hmm.
Wherever that, even if it would have ended with them, you know,
mm-hmm.
involved in this mm-hmm. circle massage, they would have been fine.
Yeah, I believe that.
David is 100% accurate when he says that Jake literally doesn't care about anything.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
If, like, the only thing that they'd have to worry about is their own relationship.
Right.
Like, and what that does to their relationship or means for their relationship, right, or whatever. Like, they wouldn't have to worry about him.
It was very interesting to me how many people sent us messages about this particular story.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of people really enjoyed it and really appreciated it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was reading all of them. I'm like, wow. And again, I'm like, you guys are badass because me, I don't know that I could say these things. I don't know that I can be that positive about this storyline.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I'm glad they represented the yes and the no of it. And that's.
And the maybe of it.
Right.
Yeah.
And they had fun with it. It was a light. As much as it could have been a very heavy storyline.
Oh, yeah. It could have taken such a turn. Yeah.
They made it very light. Mm-hmm. So I was glad for that.
Can't wait to see what the next hurdle for these two is going to be. Okay, so that leaves us with Alexis, Ted, and Moira. Unlike we predicted, the book has not closed on crows at all. In fact, all anybody can talk about is the craziness of the premiere.
This entire episode begins with this morning show.
I was so taken aback.
I was
like, wait, what am I watching?
Obsessed with this opening scene. Obsessed.
Yeah.
These two ladies.
Dude. Oh. They've nailed the Kathy Lee and Hoda dynamic.
These two ladies need their own show.
Yeah.
They really, really do. But yeah, I like how they had Moira kind of not phone in, but
yeah,
Skype or recorded.
Yeah.
She's being recorded. Yeah. And then Alexis is behind the camera with these like cue cards.
So good.
It's so good.
Stop talking about streaming.
God. Moira was truly made for this.
She is.
The way she gets on with these two women, it's like, ah, oh, look at you being amazing.
And then
they said something that was very interesting to her. And it kind of just like, it sealed the deal here. And I loved it. I loved it because I felt it for her when they told her that this was her comeback, that she is back. To tell Moira that is all she's ever wanted to hear.
Yep.
This is it for her. And I mean, they nailed it right there. She's officially back in the game. She is. And that makes my heart so happy for her.
Yeah.
Because as much as this could have been a disaster, and it was setting up to be.
It seemed like after the way last episode ended. Yeah.
That's we really thought that it was going to be. But no, here we are.
And again, it is thanks to Alexis's amazing spin on it. And so this is what I'm talking about when I talk about Moira and Alexis's chemistry. The fact that Moira, through no coercion or just of her own accord, pulls Alexis on camera with her.
Yeah.
To give her props where props are due.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow.
I know.
Couldn't believe it.
We are used to Moira making it about Moira. And look at me.
Sharing screen time with anybody else, let alone Alexis, who she, you know, has shown that she has, like, little faith in up till now.
And again, in the same interview that she was told that she's made a comeback, she's like, yes,
she thinks she owes it all to her daughter. Amazing.
I know. And even Alexis is taken by surprise, like, oh, okay.
But then immediately knows her angles and knows how to work the camera.
I love, too, that she's not mic'd and she tries to talk. And Moira's like, you're not mic'd.
Poor dear.
Poor dear. And there she is, just like posing, good side, bad side, any side's good.
Yeah. It's that was such a like, oh, my God, this is really happening moment.
It was great.
And then... So she has one of her Skype dates with Ted, and they're just, like, catching up. We learn that Ted's dorm was infested with fire ants, which allows him to make a hilarious fire fest pun.
I missed Ted's puns.
I know.
I really did.
Yeah, it's true. And then, you know, he asks her, like, how her thing is going as Moira, like, comes into the room. So Ted tells her that the scene at the end where she jumps out of the nest only to discover that her wings haven't fully formed is the best thing.
So that's how the crowing ends.
Is it? She just falls to her death? I mean, I guess.
No. He says at the end.
That's true. He does say at the end. Oh, my God. So good. And then when BuzzFeed calls to talk about the 10, what is it? The 10 most disastrous Clara Mandake moments or whatever.
Oh, man. Everybody's catching on. And I love how they're using all these, like, the names of all these, you know.
Yeah.
These, God, they're not, like, news outlets.
Yeah,
or anything,
I guess BuzzFeed considers itself a news outlet.
Does it?
I think so.
Fun. Good for them. But, yeah, I mean, they're back in action.
They're doing it. And fucking Alexis is crushing, man.
Yeah, she's busy.
She's in demand. Moira has to do phone interviews, and she needs Alexis by her side to, like,
guide
her.
She can't be expected to remember everybody's name.
Mind you, they're asking about co-stars, and her thing is, like, I can't remember everyone I've ever met. Moira.
But
so,
yeah,
I mean, she's fucking crushing it. Mm-hmm. And then the capper is when Alexis walks into the room and there's, like, flowers everywhere.
What's all this?
They just keep coming.
Well, congratulations. That must mean everyone's happy.
Oh, very happy, yes. Thanks to your little attack of the Corphidae, we are Interflix's number one stream of the day. Tied only with the Four Seasons of Caroline in the City.
To Alexis? Congratulations and thank you. The competition is eating crow. Love your new best friends at Interflix.
They're all for you. I didn't want to overwhelm you, dear. I know you're being pulled in another direction. Though you might find a bit more delectation in this.
What do I do?
What do you want to do?
I can't leave now.
If you're worried about the flowers, they'll likely be dead in a week.
Yeah, like my career if I walk away with everything that's going on. I've already made Ted wait an extra month. I can't back out now.
Oh, this scene makes my heart burst.
Yeah.
The fact, one, that all these flowers were sent to Alexis.
Dude.
And she deserves every single one of them. But also the fact that Moira is seriously trying to protect her from feeling some kind of way about what she should do, you know, not trying to make it any harder on her.
Yeah.
So,
although I would argue that she is a little bit trying.
Well, towards the end of that conversation, yes.
But even, I don't know, don't you think it's all a little bit too perfect? Like, she pulls her onto camera, and then she casually mentions that these are all her flowers, and then she's like, you might find this situation more delectable, or, you know, whatever, delectatious, what does she say?
I don't think I take it that way. I think that Moira is just trying to be a good fucking person.
Yeah.
And I think she's trying to give credit where credit is due here, and especially the fact that it's her daughter who has worked so hard.
Mm-hmm.
I just think she's trying to give her that. But I also think that, yes, she wants her to stay.
Right.
Because she's amazing and she's doing amazing. And she tells her, like, well, look at all that's going on right now.
Yeah. But you know what, though? Alexis didn't need Moira to say that because she got there all on her own. Like,
yeah.
She, you know, she's like, my career will die if I leave right now. Like, I just finally got some momentum. I can't leave now. But at the same time, Ted, what do I do? Because I made a commitment to him and I love him. And he's expecting me there.
Yeah. That is a really, really tough decision.
Absolutely.
Because we know it too, that if she leaves, everything
it'll
behind.
Be over. Yeah.
And somebody else is going to take that over.
That's right.
And be successful with it.
That's right.
And she will literally have just go to be with her man, and that's it.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah. Because there's nothing there for her besides
Ted. She
can't
do anything.
Yeah.
So, it sucks. What a situation to be in. I mean, the love of your life.
Yeah.
Is across the world. And, you know, you have everything going for you here right now.
And Moira says, like, no, like, you could literally leap now knowing for the first time ever that you might actually land on your feet. You're fucking crushing life right now. And you've never really been in that position before. And it would suck for you to lose that or, you know, give it up. And so, yeah, so Alexis has, like, a really tough decision to make, and she's made it by the time the next Skype date rolls around. But Ted has also made a tough decision.
Yeah.
Although I would argue it's less tough for him to make that decision. Point being, I'm glad. I'm glad that Alexis didn't have to bear all this on herself. Like,
right.
I have to be the one to tell you I don't want to come because it would kill my career.
Absolutely.
I like that he got to also come to the table and say, I don't think you should come here.
Right.
Because it would suck for you.
I would argue that that decision might have been even harder for Ted to make.
You think?
Because he's that far away and he misses the shit out of her. He doesn't have all this excitement in his world other than his own.
He has so much excitement in his world.
Well, his own type of... They're two different worlds that they're living in right now.
Right.
And I think that Ted is more like secluded and he's a little bit tucked away. And Alexis is living in all this, like the lights, the, you know, all the, everything that is going on, like on TV, and her mom's doing amazing and she's go, go, go. And yeah, Ted's having the time of his life too. This is such an opportunity for him. But also, he would love nothing more than for Alexis to come and be there with him. And unselfishly, without her having to say anything, just be like, I think you should stay there.
Ted makes a selfless decision. Alexis makes a selfish one. Alexis's decision is selfish. Not in a bad way, but it's about her. It's about her career. She doesn't want to lose it.
Yeah.
Ted's decision is giving up his time with his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. But again, also not, you know, the words selfish and selfless have connotations to them. I'm saying them as matter-of-factly as possible.
Yeah.
His decision is a selfless one. Her decision is a selfish one.
Yeah.
But I will say the fact that the two of them make those decisions at the same time could be the only thing that ends up saving their relationship.
Yes, absolutely.
Because if one came to a conclusion before the other did or vice versa, it's a completely different situation.
Anything that we thought before this about what the, where the relationship was going to go.
I've given up trying to predict. I don't know anymore. I don't know.
Well, I think that they're going to be okay. I think so.
I honestly cannot say.
And I wasn't able to say that before. We always thought like, well, it's going to take – their lives are going to take them two different directions. And, well, yes, they love each other. Maybe they're just going to need to like separate and then figure it – find their way back to one another when the time is right. But I think that this ultimately is what's going to save them. And this changed my mind with things. And I'm – in that moment, I'm like, you know what? They're going to be okay.
I really want them to be. I think – frankly, I think it's a better ending.
Yeah.
Like, after all of this that's happened, I do think it's a better, like, more satisfying ending if they make it because of what I just said, because they're both simultaneously understanding what each other needs.
Yeah.
However, I also won't be surprised if they end up not together.
Oh, I hope not, but...
I really don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That threw me for a loop when David chimed in.
When Ted said it too.
Yeah, that threw me for a loop when Ted was like, I think you should stay.
Me too.
I really thought that Alexis was going to have to be the one to say it all.
Mm-hmm.
But
I will say this too, because I felt it. Like in that final moment where... You know, initially when on the first Skype date, she sort of hangs up in a rush because she's got to go get on the call, right? And then on the second one,
he does.
And it's a much sadder one, you know?
Well.
But it made me think about why is it sadder? Because it's the same thing. But the difference is the camera stays on Alexis both times. And I think that it's a bit of a disservice to the character of Ted that we don't. You know, like, I wish I could get into Ted's head.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm so very much in Alexis's head with all of this. Like, I see her go through all the motions. I see her having the – making the decisions, why she is torn or just being torn in general. Kind of wish I could see that from Ted, too. On the other hand, I understand it's a 21-minute sitcom. Alexis is our main character, you know, whatever.
Have we ever, though?
No.
Right.
But this is such a momentous – thing for the two of them. This separation is the most important test that their relationship will ever go through.
Yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't say ever, but has ever gone through up to this point. And it would be interesting at the very least, if not nice, to get into Ted's head a little bit, just to see his face when she hangs up on him abruptly or, you know, something, just to give me a hint or a clue. But like I said, I understand that the show is about Alexis. It's not about Ted. You know what I mean? And obviously, like, her journey is the one that we are on with her and care about. So it's certainly like not bad or wrong that we stay with her the whole time. But it does make it a little trickier for me to like figure out where he's at, what he's thinking, what this means for him, you know, all that stuff.
It's just it made me sad that the end of that scene.
It was very like a down note.
Yeah.
Just the abrupt, I love you, bye.
They were going to try to have Skype sex.
They were.
And he didn't want to get attacked by the fire ants.
Does that mean that they've never? Like, because both times we've seen them try, they got interrupted.
Oh, that's right.
But I have to believe that they have had opportunities, right?
I would hope so.
I mean, right?
They deserve it. God.
Although it's only been like, a month?
It hasn't been that long.
Yeah, less than a month.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know, if I'm in a relationship, I don't want to go a month.
Okay.
Even if it is on Skype.
Take notes, all you single people out there. Lady J doesn't want to go a month.
This, I'm telling you, this podcast has become such an exercise in me, like, giving myself to the world.
Wow. Just use protection, okay? Just be careful.
Any stray observations?
Yeah, a couple. I noticed that in the room they gave to Bob, that they're all in when Bob is like trying on the suit and stuff. You see the pictures of Gwen on the table?
Wait, that wasn't just Johnny's room?
No, that's not the room.
Oh.
That's a totally different
room.
It never occurred to me. I had to like really look, but it's neither Johnny and Moira's room, and it's not Ted and Alex or David and Alexis's room either.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a
They did give him a room.
They did give him a room, yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And there's pictures of Gwen on the table. Oh. And I'm like, if they're his friends,
yeah.
No. Get these pictures out of here.
But those are probably just like, well, you're right.
No.
He shouldn't put them up. You're right.
No.
You're right.
He's going to cry.
Well, yeah. And it seems like there's really no chance of them reconciling. Like, she's off doing her thing. Like, she has no
desire. The fact that they lasted as long as they did.
She was just waiting for her out, this bitch.
Gross.
Ugh, I know.
Gwen.
I almost kind of wish it wasn't so bad. Like,
I know.
You know, because now, like, because I don't want to be shitting all over Gwen.
I don't care.
I never thought I would be, is my point. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I thought it would be funny and like, just like, if, like an anecdotal thing of like, oh, yeah, she is, in fact, running a sex ring out of her library computer or something. Like that to me, like, would have kept it light. This is like real shit, dude. Like she has ended her marriage to just go hoe around town.
Like, yeah. Gwen's a hoe.
Yeah.
The fuck.
I know. It's crazy.
It really is. Anyway. We could talk about Gwen all day.
It's true.
My last stray observation. David is eating a mall pretzel.
I know.
He is eating a fucking mall pretzel.
Also, it looks like the way he's eating it, I can taste it.
Yes! I want to be holding one in my hand and like eating it with him.
Oh my God, it's like so tactile the way he's eating
it. Usually in shows when they are eating something like that, like something bready or I don't know how to explain it, not like a dish or mm-hmm. something, like snacky.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like tough. Or they, like, barely eat or take little bites or they just kind of mess with it, play with it.
Well, mainly because the actors don't want to be eating all the time. So, like, you know, they don't.
Yeah, he's fucking eating this pretzel.
Yeah, he's going to town on this pretzel.
I mean, the scene really ends with him taking a bite out of it. Like, oh my God. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved that they did that.
Mm-hmm.
I text you and I'm like, David's eating a mall pretzel.
I know.
Yeah.
Also, where did he get it?
Because
they were just
having
breakfast.
I don't know. But you could tell it's like, I mean, I don't think it was from their house because it literally has that wrapper on it.
He definitely got it from like a Wetzel's Pretzels or Auntie Anne's or whatever.
Where one of those is in Schitt's Creek, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But apparently.
Oh, no. He got it from the cafe. Duh.
You think?
Probably.
Okay.
Right?
I'll allow it. Yeah.
I feel like they could make pretzels at the cafe.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I'd be ordering those all the time.
Man, damn. I do love a good pretzel, though.
Oh, salted.
But they have to be fresh and soft. Once they harden, game over. No, thank you. I'd rather have a hard pretzel than a hardened soft pretzel. Yeah.
And I can only eat it. I can't eat them plain. Well, I can eat them plain, but I prefer not to. It's either with cheese or mustard.
Mustard.
Yes.
Queen.
Cheese or mustard.
I love. Oh, my God. Were we in Chicago when we had those pretzels? The pretzel bites or whatever at that one pub?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. So good.
That was on Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, we went there a couple times, though.
Yeah. I think we went there like the night before, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got drunk. Ooh. Hammered.
Good times.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get into our second segment.
Who wore what best?
Whoop, whoop.
So I don't need to explain a damn thing because it is 100% Patrick's fucking shirt. That's it.
Yeah, it's the same for me.
Okay. Like, wow.
No doubt in my mind.
David had so many comments about that fucking shirt, too.
Oh, didn't know we were bringing our friends tonight.
Okay, I knew I shouldn't have worn this shirt.
No, it's nice. It's nice. Is it new? And does it come in an adult size?
It's not new. Just haven't worn it yet.
So it is new, then.
You know what? Why don't we not do this? This is getting a bit complicated.
The only thing that's complicated here is the length of your sleeves. Go long, go short, just pick one. So, I think you should knock on the door because these arms are nice and warmed up.
Oh my God.
I love it. I love that he will not let it go.
Also, does it come in an adult size? Oh, man.
You know what? I will make a stray observation costume related or outfit related.
Okay.
I love the number of times that David takes Patrick's compliment for himself.
Yes. Nice shirt. Thanks.
Or when Jake compliments Patrick's sweater and he's like, I, too, am wearing a sweater.
Yes. Like, oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got to be.
It's the shirt.
It's Patrick's
absolutely.
Shirt. Hands down.
He deserved it in this one.
Man.
What the fuck?
It is way too small
it's
on him.
It's way too fucking small.
It's way too tight.
He doesn't look like he can breathe. Mm-hmm. Like it looks
like his
tight.
Arms can't breathe.
Right.
It's very tight.
And the thing
tight.
Looks like it's going to rip at
yes.
the chest. It does like, look like a child's
like,
shirt.
For the first time, I was like confronted with Patrick's like slight man boob situation.
Don't say that.
Slightly. I'm not trying to shame him at all because he has a great body. I genuinely believe his body is amazing. But I was like, oh, okay. Like, I see what you're working. Like, I saw what he was working with for the first time. And it was just like, okay.
Oh, God. I could just imagine him putting on that shirt for the scene, being like, fuck, guys, really? Jesus.
Thanks. And then to be made fun of in it yes. for however many takes it took.
But, like, it's so funny. He's like, I knew I shouldn't have worn this shirt. Yeah, why not? It looked fine with anything else.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
so good.
Patrick's shirt.
Hands down.
Hands down.
All right, so before we get into our ratings,
yes.
let's see what the internet has to say about this episode.
Hello, internet. One of our first messages just says, Bob. That's it. Bob.
Yes, I share that sentiment.
I loved it. This season is really underway now. So happy for Moira. I thought it was an interesting, albeit T for teen rated look into sexual exploration and what it means to be in a committed relationship and support each other's needs. It has sparked some conversations, which is good. And again, it flipped the gender stereotypes of who would be for adventurous and who would be domestic.
Oh, I see. So this person is saying that you would expect David to be more on board.
Yeah.
And it's Patrick who brings it to the interesting. Okay. Yeah. Which, yeah, we touched on that.
I thought it was awesome. Loved the exploration David and Patrick had in their relationship, and it probably kept the conversation going for people in their own relationships as an audience.
That's definitely true, probably.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I have been so amused by the responses in fan groups today. Loved the show. Love that they are keeping it real and that they were able to show so many different stages of relationships in one 21 minute 50 second episode. From Ronnie's first time hookup to Alexis and Ted making a decision that will probably save the relationship in the long run.
Ah, see? Mm-hmm. Somebody who agrees.
To David and Patrick being mature adults and making decisions about intimacy together. to Bob trying to recover from the end of a relationship, and it was straight up beautiful, seamless storytelling. Alexis is so good this season. Maybe it's just me, but I feel Moira isn't getting as much airtime. Maybe it's just me. Interesting.
I think I know what this person means.
Like they were expecting?
Because I was going to say, like, there hasn't really been a Moira-centric episode this season. But I think that's because the entire through line has been the movie, which includes her and involves her as much as anybody else.
I guess it's just perspective.
Yeah.
It gets shittier every episode. I'm hating it's going to be over.
Yeah, man, we all are.
P is for pipes. No, just kidding. But where did those arms come from?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oof, Patrick. Yeah.
I feel like the episodes are rushed in general to get to their intended end, but love the way we were able to see that David still has his insecurities about whether or not Patrick is really ready to commit to forever without dabbling. Loved the way Jake's gathering played out and the upbeat humor Stevie added to it. Was great. Ted gave Alexis her much-needed out so she could stay with family and focus on her personal goals a bit more. We were also able to feel the tug of her wanting to make sure she was supporting Ted and that he knows she loved him. Nervously excited to see how everything plays out. Optimistic and Bob. Hopefully we see something genuine come from this mystery meetup with Ronnie as his wingwoman. My God, I love the show and everything it walks us through. All the adventure and love and intrigue without all the prejudice.
Well said. Well put.
Very well said. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Somebody give us their own rating.
Oh, nice.
Okay, I actually really liked it. 4 to 4.5 bottles of kosher wine.
Yes.
The David Patrick plotline was just funny, and I loved the Stevie reveal. My favorite part of the Bob plot, I loved Ronnie in it. And Moira was a really great mom to Alexis. Definitely not sure where the Ted Alexis plot is going, but I'm listening to your season 5. Oh, thank you. About halfway, and I'm starting to think that maybe they will break up.
Well, yeah, mid-season 5, we were so sure about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, with that, let's get into ratings. Ratings. Irregular ratings. I'm going to let you go first.
Okay.
Such an honor.
Thank you. Well, thanks. I haven't had this much of a difficult time finding a rating for an episode in a while, actually. But I think, considering all things, I'm going to give this a 4.5 out of 5 fire ants. The reason it's missing a 0.5 or a half a point, I feel like what you said earlier, just a little bit ago, about how we don't want to fully bash Gwen. I feel like it's getting there, and I feel like it doesn't need to get there. So I want it to center more on Bob and moving forward, and I'm hoping they do that. So for me, it's that little bit of it is going to take it down a half a point. But for the most part, I enjoyed everything else in this. I really actually enjoyed, as much as it made me look deep into myself, I enjoyed the David and Patrick storyline. I really enjoyed the Moira and Alexis, Ted, Moira and Alexis storyline. And the whole wingman part of it was fun. So a 4.5 out of 5 fire ant.
I think you are, as always, way more generous than I am. Because all I could think about as soon as this episode was said and done, as much as I enjoyed it, and don't get me wrong, I was like laughing out loud. There were so many great moments. I loved the heartwarming aspects of Ted and Alexis and the hilarity of David and Patrick and all of that. This is the most filler episode.
Oh.
Like, it's so filler. Like, nothing really happens. I mean, I know that the whole Ted and Alexis thing happens, which is the only really thing of note in terms of long-term effects, you know?
Yeah.
That happens in this episode. And I cannot give it above a 3.5 because of that. Because I see it for what it is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of just like a non sequitur moment for everybody. And And it's great, yeah, which is why it's above average and all that. But it just, I can't get it into the four and above echelon, you know? I don't know. So I'm giving this 3.5 out of 5 flowers from Joyce DeWitt. That's going to do it for us, folks.
I think so.
Until next time, don't forget to rate, subscribe, and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on social media at Upshits Creek Pod on Instagram and Facebook or at Upshits Creek on Twitter. You can send us an email at upshitscreekpod@gmail.com. Let us know if you know how to start a pop-up. And you can also subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/upshitscreek. And till next time.
We love you, shitheads. Kiel Vaj.
Blessings. This episode is brought to you by the generous donations of Emily and Lucina.
Well, hello, you.